Madam Sharmani Didi Bhaktadapa Vivek.
Krishnayo Krishna Bhaktayo Tadvaktayo Namo Namo Yam Pravajanta Manupeta Mateta Krityam Dvaipayano Viravaka Tadvajuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Tarobanidu Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimanathosmi Bhaktya Vainaya Parada Dakshay Chiptasya Kamadi Taranga Mardi Kripa Mayi Tvam Sharanam Prapadyam Prende Namaste Charanaravindam Tvaivasmi Tvaivasmi Najivami Tam Vina Iti Vigyaya Radhe Tannayamam Charanantike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances. In the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Astotra Sat Shri Shrimad, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad Astotra Sat Shri Shrimad, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. So now we're resuming our study of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Bhakti Tattva Vivek. Vivek means deliberation, discrimination, and tattva means established philosophical truth. And bhakti, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur very carefully explains in the first chapter, bhakti means pure bhakti. Bhakti means without contamination. If I say, do you want pure water? Do you want water? Well, is it pure water? Or is it? Does it have minerals in it? Does it have chemicals in it? Does it have chloride in it? So water means pure water. So bhakti means without being contaminated by desire for to enjoy the fruits of my activities, without desiring knowledge which leads to my becoming that impersonal God, or any material desires. Like if I go to Mangalarti, then I can get the Mangalarti suite. So bhakti means pure bhakti. So the deliberation on the nature, intrinsic nature of pure bhakti. In this fourth chapter, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur reviews the first three chapters very briefly. In the first chapter, he said, I discussed the intrinsic nature of pure bhakti. What are its natural qualities and what are its marginal qualities? Marginal qualities means what it's devoid of. It's devoid of living in a temple because I'm too lazy to work. That is some other desire than to please Krishna. and the intrinsic or natural qualities of bhakti is what it itself possesses. That is, it possesses a continuous flow of activities, like the continuous flow of honey from a jar. We know that honey is very smooth and thick, and when it's falling from the jar, it doesn't break. So the continuous flow of activities, which are performed exclusively for the happiness of Krishna, for the happiness of Krishna, not activities which give Krishna happiness. What's the difference, Anita?
Like Mother Yashoda will chastise Krishna, say, don't do this because it's made to make him for his best interest. But even though it makes him unhappy in that moment when he's being chastised.
Whereas,
yeah, so the wrestlers in Mathura, it gives Krishna happiness to have his viraras and fight with people, but they don't have Krishna's best interest at heart. They're trying to kill him or hurt him. Or his happiness, yeah.
So for the happiness.
Yeah, for Krishna's happiness.
Not that which gives Krishna happiness.
Bhakti is in the heart of the bhakta, not in Krishna. So it's not what gives Krishna happiness, but what is intended to give Krishna happiness. And performed anu. Anu means continuously, and anu means under guidance of the pure devotee. And Krishna anusilanam. What's the meaning of that? Vasanti? Anusilanam means, silanam means activities performed by the body, mind, words, and sentiments of the heart, and anu means continual. And what does Krishna mean? Vasanti said Krishna means Krishna. It doesn't mean Vishnu, it doesn't mean Narayan, it doesn't mean the demigods. So, according to the degree of completeness of Krishna, that pure devotee is complete in his pure bhakti. Prahlad is a perfectly pure bhakti, the best bhakta of Lord Nrisimhadeva, but he's not the complete Krishna, he's an expansion. Therefore, even though Prahlad Maharaj is the best, his bhakti cannot be as good as those who are the devotees of Krishna himself. Those in Dwarka can't be as good as those in Mathura, can't be as good as those in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, the most complete form of Krishna is Krishna at the age of Kishore, or teenage. Even in Vrindavan, the other ages, like the baby age, the young boy age, they're all expansions of that Kishore age. So who's the devotee of that Kishore Krishna? He is the most complete in his bhakti. So deliberation on the true nature of bhakti. Bhakti Tattva Vivek is nothing but an explanation of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Explanation means simplification, because Srila Rupa Goswami wrote in Sanskrit, and even Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur's easy explanation, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, is in Sanskrit. So Gurudev translated into Hindi, and then under his direction it was translated into English. And then our Prabhupada made it easy for understanding by Nectar of Devotion. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making it easy to understand by Bhakti Tattva Vivek. So in his first chapter he said, I'm reviewing now for you, I discussed the intrinsic nature of bhakti. In the second chapter, I discussed the nature of bhakti abhas, that is, bogus, deceitful, false bhakti. Bhakti abhas, which is this shadow, there's two kinds of abhas. One is a shadow and one is a reflection. The reflection is, say, in the water. The reflection is separate from the object, whereas a shadow is connected with the object. So chaya bhakti abhas is one kind of deceitful bhakti, but that's more connected. The person knows he's deceitful and he's trying to get out of it by proper training. Whereas the other one, he thinks that he's a pure devotee and he's cultivating that. For example, he worships the five deities, any of the five deities, Vishnu, Ganesh, Shiva, Durga, Surya, thinking that these forms are temporary. And ultimately, they're impersonal, and I'm impersonal, and I'm them, so I become one with them. And they chant Hare Krishna or any other song, and they feel all kinds of symptoms of happiness, but that happiness is either pretending just to get, you know, like hair standing on end or fainting, just to get a cheap adoration from the public, or they're happy that, oh, I'm just chanting Hare Krishna, now I can become Krishna. So they get this false happiness out of that. And the example he gave, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, is Brikasura. He worshipped Lord Shiva so that he could extinguish Lord Shiva. He ultimately, that's what he wanted to do. So they worship Krishna with the idea to extinguish the form of Krishna and become that impersonal feature. So it's deceitful. Also, offenses in bhakti are also another kind. So there are three kinds. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one shortcut nutshell, he says, then in the third chapter, I discussed the natural attributes of bhakti. That is, there are three stages of bhakti: sadhan, bhav, and prem. In each of those stages, two more attributes develop. The first two develop in the stage of sadhana, and they're like the first two leaves unfolding of the creeper. First is the bhakti lata, which is the seed of bhakti given at the time of real initiation. The gardener is the disciple, and he puts that seed in his heart and waters it by the water of chanting and hearing and remembering. So then gradually that little baby creeper grows two leaves in the stage of sadhana. There's sadhana abhas, which is not real sadhana, and then there's real sadhana. Kriti bhava, is it? I still don't know it. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya, sa sadha, I don't know it. I failed. I'll fail this course. So, in English, those activities which are performed solely for the purpose of developing bhava bhakti, which is potential, naturally potential in the heart of every living entity, and which is the sprout of the plant, the full plant of prem, or which is the first rays of the sun of prem, and at the time of which one's heart melts with various ecstatic emotional tastes. So that bhava bhakti is potentially in the heart, and it's potentially in the performance of sadhana. Sadhana is performed, the nine limbs of bhakti are performed only to have bhava. If it's performed for something else, that is, I want to do better than somebody so that I can make fun of them, that I beat them at the service, then that's sadhana abhas at best. So at the stage of real sadhana, two leaves unfurl. Why is it important to know this? As he's explaining in every chapter, if I don't know what's bhakti and what's not bhakti and what's mixed bhakti and what's deceitful bhakti, then I may fool myself or encourage someone else to fool their self about what is bhakti. And then what I'm doing is, I have this little baby plant, and then there's a weed right next to the plant, and I'm watering the weed instead of the plant, and then the weed is wrapping itself around the plant and strangling the plant, and I'm thinking that I'm advancing in bhakti. So therefore it's important to know. Like if I'm thinking, if I'm hearing, for example, that at the stage of sudden bhakti, two leaves come. One is kleshagani. That means all miseries go away. There are different various kinds of miseries, like envy, fear, these are all miseries. Strong attachment to the objects of the senses, these all cause miseries. So I'm thinking, well, I do everything right. I chant, I do my bhajan, I serve devotees. How come my miseries are still here? So then he explains, because you're not really doing sadhana. So therefore, I should know analytically, or by deliberation, what is bhakti, what is half bhakti, what is not bhakti, so that I can guide myself properly and I can guide others properly. So the first two leaves are kleshagani, that is freedom from miseries, and the second is subhada, or the giving of all auspicious qualities. Humility, freedom from envy, friendly to everyone, surrender to Krishna, tolerance, giving respect to everybody. And if I can't give respect, then I know why. Then I have to work on my sadhana to make it real sadhana. Then automatically that quality comes. Then in Bhava Bhakti, two other qualities come. The rarity of it, Sudurlabha, and Moksha Lagukrit. The happiness that one experiences in Bhava Bhakti is so great that the happiness of impersonal liberation at that time can easily be compared with the water that's contained in the hoofprint of a calf in the mud, as compared to the ocean of happiness that that devotee is experiencing in his bhava bhakti, in his transcendental moods. Then in prema bhakti, two other leaves, the final two leaves develop. The other two leaves are there, and they're more and more unfolding. And there's the outside of the leaf, which is rough, and the inside of the leaf, which is you can't see at first, but then you can see it later when it fully unfolds. That smooth inside is called Raganuga Bhakti. It's very smooth, you advance very quickly, it's full of sweet emotions, whereas Vaidhi Bhakti, because it's without attachment to Krishna, and I'm still the center, I'm making the garland, do I like what it looks like? It's not symmetrical enough by my taste. Well, there it goes on the deity. Uh-oh, it's crooked. I don't like that stupid pujari didn't put it on right. So, Vaidhi Bhakti, because it's without natural attachment, love and affection for Krishna, it's rough, it's full of roughness and toughness, and it's hard to progress at that stage, in the early stages. So, these are the six, then the last two leaves. One is called Krishna Karshani, which means it attracts Krishna. For example, most of you who are hearing this class are familiar with my four Manjari paintings. The painting at the far, as you look at them, on the far left, she has a flying braid, and at the end of the braid it looks kind of like a cobra's hood. So Gurudev told me to make it like that because he said that it flows as she walks or dances or by the breeze like a cobra moving with its hood, and when Krishna sees that, it bites him, it bites his heart, and he may faint. He becomes enchanted. So it attracts Krishna. Also the flowers. Gurudev told me exactly where to put the flower garlands on their head, neck, arms, like that, because they attract and charm and enchant Krishna. Krishna's devotees attract him to serve them, like Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna. He even put on the horseshoes of Arjuna's horses and cleaned his horses. So Krishna is attracted to serve the devotees. If Mother Yasoda doesn't pick Krishna up, he'll scream and wail until she does, because he's attracted by her service. And the other is Sandranatma Visheshatma. That means it's happiness to the extreme extent, deep, condensed, transcendental bliss. So he said, now I've discussed those aspects of bhakti in the previous three chapters, and in this last chapter, I'm going to discuss the natural qualification for bhakti. For example, somebody may do bhakti, may perform the activities of bhakti. I'm chanting, Gurudev said yesterday in Govardhan, everyone has to go to Mangalarti, or I'll take a bucket and personally throw it on him in the morning to wake him up. So I'm already doing that. I'm engaged in Gurudev's preaching mission, and I sing, but I don't know why, I don't really have a taste for chanting. I like to work because I enjoy the results of my work, or I like to cross out the things I've done and check, done, because that gives me some happiness. But as far as chanting and hearing, and remembering, forget it. When I chant, I chant, and I think of whatever I think about. I don't really have the taste to... Sometimes I try to remember Krishna, but it's really a job. Or if I think about, say, the pastimes, I think, okay, let me see. Radharani walked up to the tree, and she thought, this is not a tree, this is Krishna. Oh, tree, I love you. You look just like my Shyam. Let me embrace you. So I've been doing this for years, and I'm so discouraged by the whole thing that I just want to forget it and do something else. So in order that the devotees not get discouraged, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, I'm going to explain to you why this is happening to you. It's because, do you really have the qualification for bhakti? You're going through external motions, but do you have the qualifications for bhakti? Two things are required. I have to... one thing is required for the success in anything. I have to have the qualification. I may like to act like a judge, but I have to have the qualification to be the judge. I have to have gone to school, and I have to have pleased my teachers by my activities and my grades, that they will give me the score. And plus, in order to do that, I have to have some taste in the studies. And I have to have the faith that this is what I really want to do. I really want to graduate. And I have to have the taste that backs up my faith. Because to have the faith in something is not enough. I have to have the taste in it in order to do it. And that makes my faith powerful. So what is the qualification for the success of anything? Eligibility. Without eligibility, you can't be successful. Suppose I say, okay, Anita, you won the lottery today, and this isn't just a bogus email. You really won it, and here's the money. But can we say she has no qualification for it? She just got it out of luck? because they picked her out of the lottery? No. It means that in her past life, she must have given donations and charity to a good cause, and therefore she's getting something back. She's rich now, all of a sudden. So eligibility, there must be eligibility and qualification for the success in any endeavor. And what is the qualification for bhakti? The qualification is faith. Faith is not bhakti. If I have faith that bhakti is good, and I can't be happy unless I do bhakti, that's not bhakti. It's a qualification for bhakti, or it's the door of bhakti. Just like it said that Sharanagati, the six limbs of Sharanagati are the door of bhakti. That is, I will accept everything favorable for bhakti. I will reject everything unfavorable. And I believe that Krishna is my maintainer, my provider. Without this faith, and I'll be humble also, so that Krishna will have to take care of me. Without this faith, I can't engage in bhakti, because I'll think, well, somebody else is my maintainer, so I should have faith in the other person. I should flatter some rich person, pretend that I like them a lot so that they'll give me a lot of money. So faith is the qualification and the eligibility for bhakti. There's two kinds of bhakti. There's Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. Faith is the qualification for Vaidhi bhakti, and greed, we have heard so many times, is the qualification for Raganuga bhakti. Then how can it be said that faith is the qualification for bhakti? Faith is the qualification for both kinds of bhakti. There's two kinds of faith, and one kind of faith is greed. The two kinds of faith are Lobha Mayi Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Lobha Mayi means that faith that's full with greed to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And then the other kind, is called Vishvashamayi Shraddha, that faith. Vishvash means faith. Shastra, Vishvash, Mayi means complete with, full with. Shraddha, faith. Shastra, Vishvash, belief in the words of the Shastra, that Krishna is God, that Krishna is like the whole body and you're like the hand. If the hand serves the whole body, then the hand gets nourished. And faith in the words of the scriptures that, well, here in the third canto is the list of hells. You can very well go to Ruruva, where you become a worm and other people become worms and they eat you and you eat them, if you're sinful. If you have illicit sex life, then you have to go to the hell where you have to embrace hot, molten iron shape of the opposite sex, while at the same time you get whipped by the constables of Yamaraj. That's Shastra. And if I believe in that, whoa, I don't want that to happen to me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That's Shastra, Vishvash, Mayi, Shraddha. That's faith for Vaidhi Bhakti. And Lobha Mayi, Shraddha is faith for Raganuga Bhakti. Are there any questions? And tomorrow we'll finish. We'll finish it.
Right? How do one get eligibility and strive to be a member?
How does one get the eligibility for what?
For bhakti.
For bhakti. One gets the eligibility for both kinds of bhakti by associating with devotees. There are four kinds of people who come to bhakti. Those who are distressed, those who are looking for wealth, those who are inquisitive, and those who have spiritual knowledge. Like, for example, Shonaka, who is the leader of the 88,000 sages who questioned Suta Goswami. They had spiritual knowledge, and they're wanting to know what is it that can make the soul happy. Dhruva Maharaj wanted wealth. Gajendra, the elephant, was very distressed. Just imagine if you're standing in the water in a river up to your knee, and all of a sudden an alligator comes and grabs onto your leg. That's what you call distressed. And then inquisitive, who is inquisitive? Oh, the four Kumaras, they're inquisitive. And they smelt the aroma of the Lord's lotus feet, and they became pure devotees. Shonaka heard from Suta Goswami. By that they developed the eligibility for pure bhakti. Gajendra prayed, and he developed the eligibility for pure bhakti. The Lord appeared to him, and who else is there? Dhruva Maharaj. In his performance of bhakti, he gradually became purified. And when he saw Lord Narayan, he regretted that he had any other desire than Lord Narayan himself. So he developed the eligibility. So why is it that some people who have those four things do come to bhakti and some don't? Not that everybody who's distressed comes to bhakti. So it's because of Sukritis for many millions of past lives. And within that Sukriti, there's unknowing or knowing service and association with pure devotees. Similarly, with the qualification for Raghunuga Bhakti, it comes from the association and hearing about the sweet pastimes of the Lord and hearing about the process of Raghunuga Bhakti, how to come to it, from the pure devotee and also serving him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that some people think that by renunciation and cultivation of impersonal knowledge, one can come to bhakti. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there has to be something in between, comes to faith rather. But there has to be something in between, and that is association with devotees. We hear ado shraddha, tato sadhu sangha. That ado means first. But if you open up the doors of ado, you come to millions and billions of births of Sukritis in relation to pure devotees, performing pious activities, spiritual pious activities in relation to pure devotees. So, does that answer the question? Okay, we'll end here. Did you have something? We'll end here, and